Just a name that our Lord Jesus takes to himself, where he says at the end of verse 16, I am, gives one name, and then he gives this name, I am the bright and morning star. And it's this that I would like to look at for a little this evening with you. What I endeavoured to open up last week was in some ways brought to mind through our studies in the book of Esther, and so is this. It's not long since we were looking at the book called Esther, and we know that it takes its name from perhaps the most visible character in the book, Esther, the queen. And her name, as it sounds, means star. Perhaps that wouldn't signify a great deal on its own. But then we do think about her part in the story. She had a significant part to play in the deliverance of her people. And then we join that with the patterns that we find through the Bible. As I said previously, that when God delivers specific occasions, such as in the book of Esther, it's because that's what he does. That's his pattern. That's his work amongst men. God has been about this work of saving his people from the very beginning. And so it seems that perhaps it gives us a lead-in to think a bit further from here. The fact that that star, that Esther, played an important role in the deliverance of her people. And as we have just seen, I'm pointing you to those few words in that passage. There is someone else in the Bible who is called the star. The star, the bright and morning star. And I would like to take you to look at him that we look at him together. First thing I would like to do is just to very quickly glance at a number of appearances of the star in the Bible. So Bible appearances, where do we find this? Any prior occasions that we find in the Bible that might help us to understand a bit more about this? Then also just to think about the star as in its mystery, that it has a mystery to many. And then thirdly, and especially to recognize this star, the bright and morning star, providing hope for a new day. So Bible appearances, first of all. There are many places in the Bible that make reference to the stars. The stars appear, first of all, in Genesis chapter 1. It's almost a throwaway line, the way it's recorded there. It tells us that the sun was made to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. And then in a very short sentence, and he made the stars also. It just tells us that he made the stars. You might remember, too, places where we learn that he names the stars. And for all the scientific brilliance of our present day, nobody's yet counted how many stars there are, but he knows them, and he has named them. The other places where the stars are often mentioned are to give a picture of something that is impossible to count, and most especially with regard to God's promise to Abraham regarding his descendants. You, Abraham, you look at the sky, if you can count those stars, that's as many descendants as you will have. Well, Abraham couldn't do that. Nobody, as I say, has yet been able to do it. So stars appear in these kinds of ways. But there are a few other places where a star appears in with reference to a person, or there are references to the qualities of a star or stars. There are not many occasions, but there are several which I think it would be helpful to draw together. So some of the places where we do find a star specifically mentioned, looking towards a person. Now, I wonder if I read a few lines for you. I wonder if you could tell me where they might have come from. Where do you think this comes from? I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Let me just go do those last two lines again. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Does anyone know where those lines come from? Bible lines. Does anyone? Any ideas? Any thoughts? Isaiah, one idea. Anyone else? Psalms. Any other possibilities? It comes from the book of Numbers, in chapter 24, and the prophet Balaam. The heathen prophet who set out to make money on prophecy, from prophecy. He couldn't do what he wanted to do because God compelled him to prophesy that a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And it seems to me that that's perhaps the first place that we find such a reference to that. And very specifically looking at a person who is being called this star, as well as a scepter, but for this evening, a star. After that, not a great deal. There is mention of, in our version at least, in Amos, of the star of your gods, but a small g, because that is what was in mind. It's understood that perhaps that might be best understood as the star god. There were people who would worship Saturn as a star, as their god. And then Stephen recalls precisely that prophecy in Acts chapter 7. So what was happening there was that they were worshipping a heavenly object that looked like a star. It was in contrast to true worship, which is worth mentioning, to recognize that there is something of that perception as men look upon the stars. The next place that we come across a star that has perhaps some relation, but I wouldn't go too far on it, is quite simply the wise men from the east. They saw a star, which it would be going too far to say it's a person, but it was very closely related to this person. It was that star that was so distinctive, that was vital in bringing them to the place of witnessing to the birth of the Christ. But then we go a little bit further, quite a bit further perhaps, and it's in then as far as the second letter of Peter, and the first chapter, he says this. He says, "So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." We'll develop this a little more in some ways later on, but he is speaking there, isn't he, of an exceptional blessing. He speaks about the prophetic word. That itself will be a light for the present. It shines in a dark place, and that's a great light that is a blessing to us. But if we find that to be a blessing, this is something that is going to be further still, greater still. It's for the time being that we're in a dark place, but the time is coming when the day will dawn and the morning star will rise in your hearts, the hearts of Christ's people. There's a greater light to come. And it's from Peter then we go all the way to Revelation, and apart from this particular reference there are three places that I would mention. First of all, that stars appear as the angels, seven stars, as the angels of the seven churches. And the angels in that place are seen to be in New Testament language, bishops, or the overseers, the elders of those seven churches. They are the lead representatives that God deals with as the directors, the overseers of the churches. But there are stars representing people. And then in one of the letters that of the to the seven churches, in the end of chapter 2, to the church in Thyatira, they are warned quite severely about some of the things that they are allowing in their church. And you might well say it's a description of the sin of Balaam. It's specifically called that in the previous letter to Pergamos. It's called the sin of Balaam. It's the things that Balaam said to the heathen king, do this and you will bring Israel down. He couldn't prophesy against Israel, but he gave advice that caused great destruction. But in the church in Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, the end, this last letter, they were committing much the same kinds of sins. But still, at the end of that letter comes that promise. You know the promises at the end of the letters? He who overcomes, and to he who overcomes in Thyatira, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give the morning star. I do find it striking, although I'm not going to develop it any further, but the character of the sins that were being committed, and yet he promises the morning star. It almost takes you back to Balaam, where that promise was first made. A star will rise in Jacob. But the promise, I will give him the morning stars, is similar to what we found in 2 Peter chapter 1. The third place where a star is quite distinctive, I won't put it any other way, is in Revelation chapter 8. And it's a great star that fell from heaven, burning like a torch, fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. Now this would take you back. Wormwood appears several times in the prophets, and it's a destructive force of God's judgment. But again, the star is very directly related to God's work. And in God, judgment cannot be separated from salvation. They are part, all part of his work. Just very quickly then, some of the places, the main places where the star appears in this particular kind of way. Also to speak about the star as a mystery to many. Now, perhaps I am playing a little bit on the New Testament use of the word mystery. A mystery in the New Testament, as Paul uses it particularly, is something that has been unknown, unclear. You can see the outside of it, but you don't understand it. But through Christ, we come to understand it. That's a New Testament ministry. It becomes revealed all through Christ. And there is something of that in this. Stars, the morning star. And just very, very literally, you think about the stars. Isn't there a mystery to them? So far beyond reach? Perhaps not so much tonight, but last night you could look up and they were there in the bright and brilliant in the dark sky, the clear sky, so far beyond reach, and so many of them, and covering, you go to out of the town and you see them just covering the sky. And there are people who devote their lives to the study of the stars, and yet they're still a mystery even to them in all their vastness. But in all the specific placement that the Lord himself makes. Also, on a night such as last night, the purity, as I say, just the sharpness, the clarity of the star, there's a purity to them, and perhaps it accompanies that unattainable, they're beyond our reach, and there's a purity remains. There is the light of the stars, although without such a moon as there was last night, the they're not very strong light, but there is a light about them. And then there is specifically the morning star. Sometimes Sirius, which is a star or a cluster of stars, has been called the morning star, but mostly it's talking about Venus, which is the brightest object, apart from the moon, that you'll see in the sky, and it is a morning sky that you will see it, when the sky itself is still dark. But yet there's this bright star shining. And again, very simply, very literally, I'm just wondering, particularly in our day, but perhaps through many generations, how many people have noticed the morning star? Especially in our day, we go about our busyness, we get up and we don't have time to stop and look at the sky, do we, in the morning? We depend upon switching on the light. That's our light. And then we hop in the car, we go and do what we have to do, and it's always up there. And especially as we come into the winter, it's there. And we're walking underneath it, missing it. It's the way that men will be, and especially when it comes to this morning star, men will pass it by, they will ignore it. They're ignorant of it. How many people in our schools, for example, would know that it is Venus and know some of the significance of the morning star? Do we know? Or is it ignored? Other times it is treated as something to be conquered. There are studies of Venus, and there are people who are trying to work out plans how to go and to exploit it even. It's an object of scientific exploration that when we understand it, it will be as nothing. It will be in our control. But it's not really that way. There is a mystery about it. And if that's the case in a literal sense, how much more about this one, who doesn't say much about himself in these terms through the Bible? It's there through Balaam, and it's here at the end. Just occasionally appears, glimmers of it along the way. There is a mystery about it. But it's made known. And the key things are made known. And the great thing about the morning star that we do know is that it is promising the coming dawn. And that's what I said earlier. My main emphasis tonight is to bring you to this place and to see that the morning star presents for us a hope for a new day. Let me take you to a couple of other references about stars, the quality of stars. First, just to look at that first. A reference that Job makes. In chapter 3 of the book of Job, he begins to curse the day of his birth. And very quickly he says this of that day that he was born. He says, "May the stars of its morning be dark. May it look for light but have none, and not see the dawning of the day." It's very negative. It doesn't want that light, that it should never have happened. But he recognizes the place of the stars. And if they are darkened, where will we be? And perhaps especially in oblique reference to the morning star. But he doesn't want the day to dawn. That's what the star does. It brings in the dawn. Further, the stars are mentioned a number of times speaking about the great judgment to come. Ezekiel chapter 32, "When I put out your light, I will cover the heavens and make its stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light." It's a dreadful judgment. And we saw something of the contrast. We saw in Revelation chapter 22 that there will be no night there. There's no need of lamp or light of the sun. The Lord will be the light. In such contrast to that judgment. The stars feature in the alternative of brightness and blessing in Daniel chapter 12. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness shine like the stars forever and ever. The morning stars seem to signify joy. Again, back to Job, but now it's the Lord speaking to Job. Speaking of the earth, to what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? That association of the morning star with joy amongst God's people. How often we read of God's turning of sorrow to joy and night into the morning. We sang it in Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what the morning star is saying. And that darkness, we'll sing in a moment, of the waiting for the morning. But even more than that, waiting for the Lord's redemption. But those who are in anguish through the night and its darkness and can't sleep and are waiting for the morning. When will it come? And the morning star promises the new day, the new light. That's what the morning star brings. And the Bible speaks of it. It is still dark. You don't see it when the sun is out. But the star assures us, that star assures us that the dawn is coming. It's near. The sun will arise. I'm inclined to go and look at the reference to the Sun of Righteousness arising with healing in its wings. I might look at that next Sunday evening. The darkness. The darkness is seen in the Bible as the time when men work their wickedness. The Lord Jesus spoke of that a number of times. But the darkness will be gone. This promises that. The morning star will usher in, and this morning star will usher in not just for a day, but it will usher in the complete rollback of darkness. It will be that new day, the eternal day. This is the person who came out of, we saw out of Jacob, out of Israel. In Revelation 22, he is of the offspring of David. He will bring light to many. We've just not long read in Luke chapter 2, Simeon's reflection as he found the child Christ in the temple. And he said, "You are the one, you are the light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." It was a reference back to Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 9 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Light into darkness, setting it back. Have you ever flown way up there in 30 plus thousand feet and see the day rise? The sun rises and the darkness folds back. And it's gone. The sun just does that, and the morning star promises that. This is God's Son who speaks here. "I, Jesus, am the bright and morning star." God's Son, Hebrews 1 says, is the brightness of His glory. That brightness that is for joy to His own people, but it is also for judgment on the lawless one. That rollback of the darkness, it's irresistible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul is writing about the lawless one, he says, "He will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of His mouth and destroy with the brightness of His coming." And the morning star and that sun with healing in His wings. And this is the one who is coming. This is the one who gives Himself to the one who overcomes. "He who overcomes, I will give the morning star." I'm going to draw to a close. Esther was a star. Esther is a star. But a greater than Esther is coming. He will banish that darkness. And that morning star will be the comfort and the assurance of all who look on him with hope. That's why we come to verse 17. And if this is the case, if he is the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him who hears say, come. As winter approaches and you step out into the dark mornings, we talked about tassels today, didn't we? Reminders. Look up. See the morning star that we have. And remember the great morning star that we also have. Hope for the coming great day that he promises. And the joy that it will bring. And may God bless his word, his great name of our great Saviour. Let us pray together.